The special favor of Allah, Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Holy Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi min shaitan rajim, bismillahir rahman rahim. Assalatu wassalamu alayki ya Rasulullah, wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Habiballah. Assalatu wassalamu alayki ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Nurallah. Viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to this series of programs, Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. And in this series of programs, we look at our rich heritage, the rich heritage of our Muslims. And I keep on saying this literally every week. A lot of us feel that we don't have a rich heritage. We do. Alhamdulillah, we have a very, very rich heritage. In whichever direction you look, whatever field you look, we have that rich heritage. But in this particular program, we look at our rich heritage of our pious predecessors. We look at our pious predecessors. We look at the friends of Allah. We look at the companions of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We look at the mother of the believers, and we look at the life of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in each and every one of these, there are lessons that we can learn. We can learn from their lives. We can learn from something from yesterday so that we can make a change today so that we can have a better tomorrow. And today is going to be no different, inshallah. Today we're going to learn a little bit about the life of our pious saints, the blessings of our pious saints. Because these great personalities were there and they left such a great legacy for us. But unfortunately, for the majority of the Muslims, there'd be names that we may have heard of, but other than that, we know very, very little about them. And that is a sad thing about us generally, that we are not aware of our rich heritage. But before I begin, like every week, I'm going to give you a blessing of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And today is no different. Today, the blessing that I'm going to give you is that the final messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is reported to have said that the one who recites salat upon me, his salat reaches me. And I make istighfar for him, and besides this, 10 virtues are written for him. Allahu Akbar. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every week, on literally every program that you watch, you will get a blessing of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the reason for this is so that we try to encourage you to be habitual so that you can get the reward as well. And also to give you easy blessings for you to remember so that you can remember them and pass them on to others as well, so that they can also become habitual in reciting Durood e Pak. Viewers of Munchan, today we are going to talk about our pious saints. Now, these pious people of the past, they had that closeness to Allah. The fear of Allah that they had was different to the fear that we have. The fear of Allah that me and you have is maybe, and even then, very few of us have even got that. The fear of Allah that we have is that we're going to be punished for our misdeeds, we're going to be punished for our sins. You know, we're scared of the hellfire, we're scared of the grave, and that is the fear that we have of Allah. But the pious people, they had that fear of losing the closeness of Allah, of losing that attachment to Allah. And so they lived their lives according to that. Inshallah, today we're going to share with you some of the blessings of these pious personalities. And also, the aim is really to encourage us to become more aware of their lives. And also that if you meet pious people, then it's advisable for us to spend time in their company. Inshallah, today we're going to give you a few parables that inshallah we can learn something from. It is stated on page 39 of the monthly Fazana Medina that Sayyidina Rabia Basri, she was a devoted worshipper, she was pious, and she was an Allah-fearing woman. And it is stated that she would fast in the day and she would recite the Holy Quran. If somebody talked about hell in front of her, she would fall unconscious out of divine fear. You know, nowadays we talk about the hellfire. You know, the youngsters, they want to know about the punishment and the, oh yeah, that's interesting, that's interesting. You know, the signs of the day of judgment, oh, this is going to happen, that's happened. And they find it interesting. That's okay. It's okay to find it interesting. But on the flip side, you know, think about the repercussions. Think about what is going to happen in the hellfire. Think about, you know, the trials and tribulations as we get closer to the day of judgment. And these sort of things don't affect us. We don't even think about it. But we see the pious people of the past that they had that fear of Allah inside them. And here we are told that Sayyidina Rabia Basri, that when she, if anybody talked about the hellfire or the condition of the hell or what people would be like in the hellfire, out of divine fear, she would become unconscious. It is stated that when she performed the Hajj, she went there and performed it barefoot, and that too in the heat as well. As she reached the sacred Kaaba, she fell all unconscious out of fear and awe of seeing the Kaaba as well. She would perform intense worship and spiritual exercises. And if she ever felt a bit tired, she would, you know, argue with herself, shout at herself and say, look, you know, this is the time to stay awake. When the grave comes, that's the time for rest. You know, stay awake. And she would push herself that, look, stay awake today, then tomorrow you can have rest. And that would happen the whole life she spent. And it's stated that she spent 50 years in a way that she neither lay on a bed, nor did she have a pillow for herself. And it's stated that she passed away in this state. This is just a little bit of an introduction to her life, of what kind of person she was. And I know that when we talk about these great personalities, it's hard for us to imagine us even being like them. And yes, I agree with you. It is virtually impossible to be like them. But at least we can aspire to follow in their footsteps. At least we can aspire to look up to them as role models and say to them, these pious people of the past, you know, these, the way that they lived their lives, the way that they would worship Allah, the way that they would have that fear of Allah inside them, the way they lived their lives, generally speaking, as well. And, you know, the du'as that they did for other people as well and how they lived their lives, there are lessons for us to be learned. And it's been narrated that one night, a thief entered the home of Sayyidina Rabia Basri, and he searched every inch of the room, the house, and the only thing he found was a lota, which is basically when people go to the toilet, what they use to wash themselves, that was the only thing that was there. And before I continue with the story, that in itself tells you the simplicity of the life of the pious preachers, that if you go into the house and the only thing that you can find is basically that, a lota, basically a newer, something for pouring water, then that tells you what other things were inside the house. And that's how simple she lived in her life. And it stated that when he intended to leave the home, she said to him that if you are a clever thief, do not leave this home without taking anything. He said, I didn't find anything. She replied, oh, poor man, enter the room and make wuzu with this lota, this power mat, and offer 2 rakat salah. Just do that. And then leave this home after getting something. Take something with you. Leave this home after getting something. So he thought, you know, maybe something's going to happen here. You know, maybe I'm going to get something here. So he goes and he makes wuzu, as she directed, and he stood to offer salah. When he stood for salah, Sayyiduna Rabia Basri, she raised her hands and she made a dua. She said, oh my Rabb, this person came to me, but found nothing. Allah, listen to this. This person came to me and he found nothing. Now I have persuaded him to stand in your divine court. Do not let him be deprived of your grace and your favors. Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. It is stated that when he finished the salah, he found inner peace and actually delight. He actually enjoyed the ibadah, the worship that he had done. Hence, he continued to offer salah until the last part of the night. And when the time of Sari approached, he was scolding his own nafs in a state of prostration, and he's saying to himself that when my Lord will ask me, did you not feel ashamed of disobeying me? You kept hiding sins from my creation, and now with loads of sins, you are before me. When he will inflict wrath on me and get away from his mercy, so what will I do at that time? What will I answer at that time? You know, the fear of Allah coming to him. Then he started to reflect on his actions, his life of thieving, of stealing, and the way he committed all of these sins in his life. And he started to reflect on this and thought to himself that if, you know, how am I going to face Allah? What am I going to do on that day? And Sayyidina Rabia Basri came to him and said to him that, oh, my brother, how did you spend the night? He replied that I spent the night well. I kept standing in the divine court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And he reformed me. He accepted my excuses. He forgave my sins. And he helped me achieve my desired destination. That person left in astonishment and bewilderment. Sayyidina Rabia Basri, Ramatullah, she raised her hands once again. And she said, oh my Rabb, this person stood in your court for a moment. And you have accepted him. This person stood in your court for a moment and you have forgiven him. And I have been standing in your court for such a long time. So have you also accepted me? Have you also forgiven me? All of a sudden she heard a voice from the unseen. And it said, O Rabia, we have accepted him for your sake and also granted him our closeness for your sake. Allahu Akbar. You know, these are the great blessings that you can get by spending time with pious people. And in this particular case, spending time with a pious saint. You know, said that the one who attends, people have said that the one who attends the blessed court never returns back empty-handed. Rather, he gets his desires and wishes fulfilled and attains many blessings. Here we see that a thief goes to her blessed court and he also succeeds in attaining the blessings of the company. And then he no longer remains a thief. He repents from them sins. And just to put that in perspective, viewers of Mother Channel, that if you watch Mother Channel, you will see many, many times that many individuals have gone to the International Center of Dawah Islami, Fazana Medina in Karachi in Pakistan. And they've had the opportunity to meet Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of Dawat Islami. And they've gone there, and I've seen with my own eyes people breaking down in tears just because they've been fortunate to meet Amir al-Sunnah. They break down in tears. And, you know, Amir al-Sunnah will say to them, you know, read your salah, and they'll start reading the salah. Amir al-Sunnah will say, give up this sin, and they say, okay, we'll give up that sin. You know, people have gone there that have been actors and singers and whatever they've done, and Amir al-Sunnah said, you know, give up that sin and delete all of them previous recordings. Said, yeah, no problem, we'll do it. And you know, that in itself is a miracle of our pious predecessors, and we see it today in the life of Amir al-Sunnah. And you know, whenever I see that, and I've seen it with my own eyes, that when Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of the Islam, instructs someone to do something or guides someone or advises someone to do something and they act upon it, it reminds me of Ghawse Pak. Ghawse Pak, rahmatullah, that when he went to Baghdad, and the famous journey that when he went to Baghdad, and on the journey, the robbers attacked the caravan, and the story is quite long, but just to shorten it, basically, at the end of the story where they call him and he unpicks his cloak and he gives them the money, and they ask him that, why didn't you just lie, you know, you could have kept that money. Because basically they asked him, where's your money then? Because he kept on saying, I've got money. Where's your money then? And he gave him the money. And he said that, you know, why didn't you just lie? And he said, I made a promise to my mother never ever to tell a lie. Them words had a profound impact on their lives. It hit their hearts. It was like, I don't know what expression I can use now, but it changed their heart. It softened their heart. And all of a sudden they realized the error of their ways. And so this is what happens when you are with the pious predecessor, that when they guide you, when they instruct you, it makes a change in your life. So we need to read about their lives. We need to read about the pious predecessors. And maybe by reading about their lives, finding about how they instructed people, how they guided people, how they lived life, the sacrifice that they made, then maybe we can also have that change inside ourselves. We can also be affected by the guidance that we have got. And even in today's day of age, if you find people that are pious, go and spend time with them. If you find a pious, knowledgeable scholar, then sit with them. And after sitting with a pious, knowledgeable scholar for a short period of time, you start to reflect. You start to look at your own inner self and you start to say to yourself, you know, what am I? What am I? What do I know? I'm nothing and I know nothing. You know, sometimes, you know, we read a few books. You know, I've got loads of books on my PC tablet here. I read a few books and I think I know something. I know nothing. You sit with pious people before that, you think, yeah, I'm okay, I'm a bit pious, I'm okay, I'm getting myself sorted. Then you sit with these people and you think, you know what? I'm the lowest of the low. Yeah? And it makes you reflect on your actions. One, it brings you down to a level and makes you think. Because sometimes what happens is, when you have this you go into a comfort zone where you think, oh, I'm okay, I'm fine, I know everything, I'm fine, I've got nothing to worry about. This in itself is a huge trap of shaitan. Shaitan will say to you, yeah, you got nothing to worry about. You performed your hajj, you're okay. You fasted during the month of Ramadan, you're okay. You read the Quran, what you got to worry about? You don't have to do this, you don't have to do that. And these are all whispers of shaitan. Where you see the people of the past, that they would go out of the way to continue to struggle, to strive, to please our Creator. The great personality, Sayyidina Usmani Ghani radiallahu anhu, he would go out of his way. He was a person, an individual that is stated that he bought paradise so many times. In the sense that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of a certain action, he was promised paradise. Then because of this action, he was promised. Then because of this action, he was promised paradise. Because of this action, he was promised paradise. And you know, when I was reading that, I was thinking that these people, they could have been promised paradise by who? Not by me, not by you, but by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So on the first action, they were promised paradise. If it was someone like me and you, we thought, yeah, we got it made, don't we? Sorted, yeah, got nothing to worry about. But not these people. They continued. And they had that fear of Allah azza wa jalla inside them. Still they had that fear of Allah azza wa jalla inside them, that anything could go wrong. They were scared of what could happen, of if maybe Allah azza wa jalla could turn away from them. Anything could happen. And they had that fear inside us. And that is something for us to reflect on. That we need to think to ourselves that, you know, where are we? Where are we in the scheme of things? Do we have that fear inside us? Do we have that piety inside us? Do we try, and as we see here, spend time with the pious people? And as we also see here, that Sayyidina Rabia Basiri, what she also did was, she also guided people and she helped people. These are all things that you see in all of our pious predecessors. They have that fear of Allah. They have that knowledge. They have that sacrifice. They have that wisdom, they have that intellect, they have that farsight, and they have that passion to also go out of the way and help people as well. We're going to take a small break now. We've got a small package for you. Inshallah, when we come back, we'll continue with the topic of the day. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad bin Abdul Aziz bin Salman Abid, rahmatullahi ta'ala, says, I've heard a pious person saying this. Once, Hazrat Sayyidina Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi ta'ala called me and I was distressed due to some reason at that moment and I could not go and present myself in his blessed court. Meaning he called me but I couldn't go there. But then later when I went to him, he rahmatullahi ta'ala asked, was everything okay? You did not come yesterday. I said, yes. Everything was all fine. I am pleased and content in any state Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps me. But yesterday I had gone out in search of livelihood for my children and family. That was the reason I could not come to you. He rahmatullahi ta'ala asked, did you get any work yesterday? He said, no. He rahmatullahi ta'ala said, come. Let's pray in the court of our Rabb Azza wa Jal, our Lord Azza wa Jal, who provides rizq, sustenance to all the world. Allahu Akbar. Let's come. We go and ask from that Zaat who is Kareem, who is kind, who is compassionate, Subhanallah, and who provides provisions to everyone who is in need. He provides risk to everyone. Allah. After saying this, Hazrat Sayyidina Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh made dua and I kept on saying Ameen. Then I raised my hands for dua and he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh started saying Ameen. By Allah Azza wa Jal, we had yet not finished our dua. It started rain of dirham and dinar. Allah. Dirham and dinar, these were the currency of that time. Started raining with this. After looking at this, Hazrat Sayyidina Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi ta'ala said, O Ibrahim, is this enough for you? Or you want some more? After saying this, he rahmatullahi ta'ala left. And when I gathered those dirham and dinar, then there were 200 dirham and 200 dinar. Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad bin Abdul Aziz alayhi rahmatullahi al-majid, he says, I asked from that salih individual, that pious individual, what did you do with that money? He replied, He said, I bought stuff and I provided for my family with that money for 1 week so that I become free to do ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And nothing becomes hurdle between me and my Lord Azza wa Jal. And then I became traveler of the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Muhammad bin Abdul Aziz alayhi rahmatullahi al-majid says, by Allah Azza wa Jal, these are those individuals who are granted sustenance, risk, uncountable from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to this series of programs Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. Today we're talking about the blessings of pious saints. And before the break, I mentioned an incident that happened with Sayyidina Rabia Basri, how she, through her du'as, changed the life of an individual, the thief that was there. And he repented from all his sins and was accepted by Allah. And then she raised her hands and said, Ya Allah, you know, he only spent a few moments in your court and it was me that encouraged him, you know, and you've accepted him, do you accept me? And she heard a voice from the unseen that, Rabia, we've accepted him through you because of your actions. Allahu Akbar. There's a book called Fizan-e Sunnat. It's a world famous book written by Amir-e Sunnat, the founder of Da'wah-e-Islami. It's been translated in many, many languages. It's a book that I believe every household should have. And it's available on your PC tablets. You can download it from our website, www.dawahislami.net. Buy it, read it, and learn from it. In this, Amir-e Sunnat, the founder of Da'wah-e-Islami, he writes that Sayyidina Abu Darda, radiallahu anhu, has narrated that without doubt, the blessed Anbiya were the awtad of the earth. Allah Azza wa Jal made a group of people from the Ummah of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as the deputy, and they were called the Abdal. These pious people were not superior to others because of their abundant fasts, salah, and glorification of the Creator, but rather they were superior because of their good manners, high and true level of piety, righteous intentions, protection of the heart from the hatred towards Muslims, forbearance, patience, and wisdom for the pleasure of Allah, humility without weakness, and because of the well-wishing towards all Muslims. Thus, they are the deputies to the blessed Anbiya. Now, I just want to stop here for one moment. And we stated there, and I want to just go through it a little bit more, that these people, they were not great. Their status was not high because of the fact that they worshipped Allah Azza wa Jal all day long. They were not superior because of the fact that they fasted all the time. And the glorification of Allah, that they did the zikr of Allah, they were superior because of why? And I want to read that out again. Because of the good manners, the high and true level of piety, righteous intentions, protection of the heart from the hatred towards Muslims, forbearance, patience, and wisdom for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, humility without weakness, and because of their well-wishing towards all Muslims, they are the deputies to the blessed Anbiya. You know, you could do a whole series of programs just on that, about how the character was, how their forbearance was, how their humility was, how they helped people, the character, this piety that they had inside them. And then you look at us. You know, the fact that here, the well-wishing of Muslims, removing of the hatred of other Muslims, looking after others, you know, these sort of things, these characteristics. You know, this is the true strength of a Muslim, if only we understand. You know, and you look around the world and you see that why are Muslims failing is because we've gone away from that kirdar, that character of the true Muslim. And that character is the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if we look at ourselves, we look at our inner selves, look at the way that we are living our lives, we'll see these weaknesses inside ourselves. If we look at our character, if we look at our intentions right. You know, we talked here that because of the good manners, because of the righteous intentions, what are our intentions? What are your intentions? You know, intentions aren't things that you can see. But we know what our intentions are. When we intentions out, when we go and visit someone, we go and visit someone that's sick. It might look like a pious act when we go to the to perform the Salatul Janazah for somebody. It may look like a pious act, but are intentions pious? Or are we going to that Salatul Janazah because, oh, you know, if we don't go there, what will people say? Oh, I'm going to that person because he's ill, because, you know, he's a powerful, influential people, and I might need him tomorrow, so I'm going to go and see him now and make him happy. Is that your intentions? You know, you would say that you'll be rewarded according to your intentions. If your intention when you go to Salatul Janazah is so that people will see you, people will see you. You know, be happy, people will see you. Yeah? If your intention is to go and visit someone that's sick because he might help you at a later time, he might help you at a later time. You'll get what you intended. But if you visit someone that's sick with the reward of pleasing Allah and getting the reward, then inshallah that'll be your reward. If you go to a Salatul Janazah so that you do dua for the deceased, so have their sins forgiven, and get the reward of attending that place, then inshallah you will get the reward, and inshallah people will be there to do dua for you when you pass away. But having them rightful intentions, the action looks the same. But if we look at our intentions, and we look at our character, we look at all these things, then we realize these are the things why we are failing. And again, there's so much that we can say about that. Going out is stated that there are the group of people who Allah Azza wa Jalla has chosen for Himself, His knowledge and His pleasure. It is stated that there are 40 Siddiqeen. 30 of them are such whose trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla is similar to the trust of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. You know the trust and the patience that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam had, that when Allah Azza wa Jalla told him, in a dream, remember this, in a dream he was told to sacrifice his only son, and he put all his trust in Allah and said, yes, if Allah Azza wa Jalla wants me to do it, he did it. And it stated that there'll be people, Allah Azza wa Jalla will send people after the Anbiya, after the Prophets, that from them there were 30 people that have that trust. Through their sake, it is stated that living beings are prevented from calamities and troubles are removed for people. Rain also falls and sustenance is provided by their sake. And it stated that they remain silent. They don't remain silent to show off, and nor are they arrogant. They do not become humble to show off as well. They are the nicest people to talk to and are more ascetic when it comes to controlling their nafs. They are by nature generous people. They always protect themselves from all such acts which are disliked by pious predecessors. They do not change such as one day they are engrossed with the divine fear and the next day they are total heedless, but rather they always remain unchanged. They have a special link with Allah Azza wa Jalla. Neither the windstorm nor the fastest horses can catch them. Allahu Akbar. The hearts rise enthusiastically towards the sky for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. When Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu narrated all of this, he then recited the ayat in which it is stated that this is the fold of Allah. Do you hear? The fold of Allah is successful. Allahu Akbar. You know, the pious people of the past, again, when you read about their lives, you see that they were individuals like me and you. And individuals like me and you have needs and wants and desires. But they didn't care. They did not care for worldly possessions. And we see that the thief went to Sayyidina Rabi Basri, and what did he find? He went to the whole house and he stated all that he found was, you know, a water jug. That's all he found. They didn't care for worldly possessions. What is me and you? Look at us. You know, we're always running after these worldly possessions. And you see from the pious people of the past that they lived a simple life instead of living a luxurious life. And through that, they became closer to Allah. Because they left this dunya. They didn't want, you know, they knew that they had to stay in this dunya. They had to stay in this world, but they didn't care for it. Because the goal was different. Our goal in life is to have peace. Everybody's goal in life is to have peace, if you think about it, really. Peace is something that we all want. We all want to have a peaceful life. We all want to have comfort. But myself and people like myself and the rest of us, we believe that comfort comes through attaining a certain amount of wealth. You know, I'll be peaceful when I have a detached house. I'll be peaceful when I have a brand new car. I'll be peaceful when I have a bank balance. I'll be peaceful when I have this. When I've got all of these worldly things, I will be peaceful. And you know what happens? You see these people that when they achieve them things, when they get them things, they're not peaceful. They don't have peace. You see the millionaires and they're taking sleepy tablets. The billionaires can't sleep. They don't have peace in their life. If you want to see peace, because this is ultimately what we're trying to see. If you want to see peace in someone's life, go and visit a pious person. He may have a simple life, but he's happy with what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given him. So he's at peace, whereas the rest of us, we're in this rat race. We're constantly running after materialistic things, whereas the pious people of the past, and even the pious people of today, they would run after those things that would enable them to get closer to Allah, to achieve that closeness of Allah. And that was their goal in life. And you could also say it was the only goal in life. Whereas for us, you could say that, yeah, it is a goal in life. It is also a goal in life that, yes, we want to please our Creator, but we also want that detached house. Yes, we also want to go on holiday. Yes, we also want that, and we also want this, and we also want that, and we also want to please our Creator as well. But you see these people of the past, our pious predecessors, and the pious people of today, like I've said, their goal in life, you could say, was only to please Allah. Only to please Allah. Viewers of Mother Chan, we're going to take a small break now. And then, when you come back, we're going to give you a miracle of a pious saint, Sayyidina Bahul Danna, inshaAllah. Let's come back. Go to the break. I think it's a kalam. Let's go back, and inshallah, when we come back, we'll give you this saintly miracle. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Rasul Allah, Ya Habib Allah, Ya Nabi Allah, Ya Nur Allah, Hirze jaan zikre shafaat kijiye, naar se bachne ki surat kijiye. Hirze jaan zikre shafaat kijiye, naar se bachne ki surat kijiye. Unke naqshe pa pe ghairat kijiye, unke naqshe pa pe ghairat kijiye, aankh se chup kar ziyarat kijiye, aankh se chup kar ziyarat kijiye, Hirze jaan zikre shafaat kijiye, naar se bachne ki surat kijiye, unke dar pe jaise gham mit jaiye, unke dar pe jaise gham mit jaiye, natawano kuch to himmat kijiye, natawano kuch to himmat kijiye, Hirze jaan zikre shafaat kijiye, naar se bachne ki surat kijiye, unke dar par baithiye ban kar faqeer, unke dar par baithiye ban kar faqeer, benawao fikre sarvat kijiye, benawao fikre sarvat kijiye, Hirze jaan zikre shafaat kijiye, نار سے بچنے کی صورت کیجیے. ہم تمہارے گو کے کس کے پاس جائیں, ہم تمہارے ہو کے کس کے پاس جائیں. صدقہ شہزادوں کا رحمت کیجئے, صدقہ شہزادوں کا رحمت کیجئے.
خیر سے ذکر شفاعت کیجئے, نار سے بچنے کی صورت کیجئے.
نعرہ کیجئے یا رسول اللہ کا, نعرہ کیجئے یا رسول اللہ کا. مفلس و سامان دولت کیجئے, مفلس و سامان دولت کیجئے.
حیض جان ذکر شفاعت کیجئے, نار سے بچنے کی صورت کیجئے.
در بدر کب تک پھرے خستہ خراب, در بدر کب تک پھرے خستہ خراب. طیبہ میں مدفن عنایت کیجئے, طیبہ میں مدفن عنایت کیجئے.
ذکر شفاعت کیجئے, نار سے بچنے کی صورت کیجئے.
خدا ہمت کے یہ جانِ حزین, دے خدا ہمت کے یہ جانِ حزین. آپ پروارے وہ صورت کیجئے, آپ پروارے وہ صورت کیجئے.
حیض جان ذکر شفاعت کیجئے, نار سے بچنے کی صورت کیجئے.
جو نہ بھولا ہم غریبوں کو رضا, جو نہ بھولا ہم غریبوں کو رضا. یاد اس کی اپنی عادت کیجئے, یاد اس کی اپنی عادت کیجئے.
ذکر شفاعت کیجئے, نار سے بچنے کی صورت کیجئے.
یا نور اللہ.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And we have been talking about the blessings of our pious saints. And I want to give you a saintly miracle that took place. And it's quite apt really to possibly how we think as well. It is stated that Zubaydah Khatun, she was the wife of the Khalifa Harun Rashid. She herself was a pious woman and she had a great love and devotion to the pious predecessors. And one day she was going somewhere with her maidservants, and during the journey she saw in a valley that Sultanul Ashikin Sayyidina Bahlul Danna Rahmatullah Ta'ala was making something with the pieces of stone. She got off her riding animal and went and stood there respectfully.
But he did not pay any attention to her. Most encouraged, Zubaydah Khatun said to her, "Your Honor, what are you making?" He, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, replied that he was making a heavenly palace. Zubaydah Khatun, she asked a question again. "Will you sell this heavenly palace to me?" And he, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, replied that, "I will definitely sell it to you." Having heard this, she became really happy. She was so excited. And he said to her that, "At what price then? At what price will you sell it to me?" And he replied that, "For 1 dirham. Listening to this, Zubaydah Khatun immediately paid the price immediately. And after receiving the price, Sayyidina Bahlul Danna Rahmatullah, he picked up a stick and he said, drawing a line around the small clay house. We had the clay house on the ground. He drew a line around it. And he said, "I've sold this heavenly palace to Zubaydah Khatun for 1 dirham. Having heard this, Zubaydah Khatun, she became so happy with this assurance that she had got the permit of paradise in her life. After receiving this good news, Zubaydah Khatun went to the royal palace. Now, in the middle of the night, at the last part of the night, after she'd finished the tahajjud salat and munajat, and she was about to lie in her bed, suddenly Harun Rashid came and started saying to Zubaydah Khatun that, "Today when I lay on bed after offering the tahajjud salat, I fell asleep, and what I saw, that I was in Jannat al-Firdaus. I saw a palace there, and Zubaydah Khatun was written in green color on the door at height. I entered the palace with this hope that perhaps my name would also be written. I traveled miles and miles, but I only found your name written on that palace." Harun Rashid, he then asked Zubaydah Khatun about it. Zubaydah Khatun related the event that occurred the previous evening. Harun Rashid then said to his wife, "Take me to Sayyidina Bahlul Danna Rahmatullah Ta'ala too." The next day, Zubaydah Khatun took him to Sayyidina Bahlul Danna Rahmatullah Ta'ala. And like before, he was sitting there busy making clay houses in the deserted area. Harun Rashid went to him and said salam to him respectfully and asked about the price for a heavenly palace. Sayyidina Bahlul Danna Rahmatullah now replied, its price is your entire kingdom. Allahu Akbar. Feeling surprised, Harun Rashid humbly said that, "Your Honor, how did the price of the heavenly palace increase so much suddenly that you sold it to my wife for 1 dirham? You sold it to her for 1 dirham and now you want all this?" Allahu Akbar. Giving the news of the unseen, Sayyidina Bahlul Danna Rahmatullah said that Zubaydah Khatun did not come to me after seeing paradise, whereas you have come after viewing paradise. Zubaydah Khatun bought it without seeing the house in paradise. You come to buy it after seeing the house in paradise. After hearing this, Harun Rashid started weeping and humbly said, "Your Honor, I'm ready to pay its price by giving you my entire kingdom. Now give me the permit of paradise." Again, listen to this pious person. What did he say? Sayyidina Bahlul Danna Rahmatullah Ta'ala said, "What will I do with your kingdom? Your kingdom does not even bear the value of the least important thing in my sight. Take your kingdom and take the permit of paradise as well." Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. You know, these pious people, the likes of, we see here with Zubaydah Khatun, that you know, when that pious person said, "Well, look, you just do this." And she had that affection to him. She had that connection to him. She had that respect of him. And again, it makes us think as well that if we could see the rewards of paradise, what would you be willing to pay? And then the question is, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us about the rewards of paradise. Why are we not now willing to pay? why are we now not willing to make the sacrifices? Why are we now not willing to repent? Why are we now not willing to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla? Why are we not willing to change our lives for the better? Why are we not willing to improve ourselves? Why are we not willing to perform those deeds that our Creator will be happy with us? Why are we still heedless in our lives? Why are we still just don't think it's going to happen? We have this, call it a shaitanic whisper if you wish, whereby we just think it's not going to happen. I'm not going to die. What a silly thought that is. You know, death can come to us, and it will come to us at any time, at any place. You can be the, you know, Fort Knox, as they say, the strongest fort. You can be in the deepest dungeon. You can be the highest mountain. You can be the coldest, quietest, darkest place. Death will come to you. And you know that. We all know that. Nobody denies it. Then why are we so heedless in preparing for it? When we hear about this, when here we're talking about the pious predecessors, we're talking about Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, what he said, we talk about how Sayyidina Rabia Basri rahmatullah, how she lived her life, we talk about the companions of the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and yet still we are heedless. Allahu Akbar. It's something for us to ponder over. Viewers of the channel, we're going to go to our final package of the day, and I'm not sure how long we've got when we come back from the package, but let's go to the final package of the day, and when we come back, we'll try and give you a few Madri pearls, inshallah, before the end of the program. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Who is a friend? A true friend is someone who, when you look at them, reminds you of Allah Almighty. Do we have such friends in our lives? A true friend is someone who, when you're with them, invokes thoughts of Allah. However, some friends lead us astray, guiding our thoughts towards worldly distractions and sinful behavior. It's essential to avoid such companionship. A true friend is someone who not only accompanies you to the masjid, but also shields you from wrongdoing. They intervene when you are tempted by sin and ensure you adhere to the righteous path. Sadly, many of us befriend individuals unfamiliar with even the basics of Islamic rituals. We must reconsider our social circles. As a poet eloquently said, the influence of a company is profound. Associating with virtuous individuals is akin to visiting a perfume shop. Even without spending much time, we benefit from their righteousness. Just as a shopkeeper offers free samples, the virtues of good company extend to those in close proximity. Some argue, I associate with drinkers and gamblers, but I don't partake in these activities. However, the influence of such a company is treacherous. Therefore, it's crucial to distance oneself from such associations. Inshallah, surrounding oneself with the righteous individuals will facilitate personal growth and spiritual fulfillment. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers on the channel, today we've been talking about the blessings of our pious saints. The Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that the inhabitants of paradise are the ones who have dusty faces, scattered hair, and wear old and torn clothes. They are not paid any attention. These are the people who are not given permission if they want to go and see the kings. If they send a proposal of nikah to women, they are refused. When they talk, they are not heard. The needs create panic in their hearts. These are paradise-deserving people. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on to say that if the nur of any one of them is distributed amongst all the people on the day of judgment, it will suffice for all people. So the people that are close to Allah are not those people that we give any value. They're not the influential people. They're not the people that we would want our daughter to marry if they sent a rishta them. No, forget him, yeah. You know, they're not the sort of people that are invited to the gatherings of influential people, which are all goals that we want, isn't it? We want to be in that company of where people think we're something, yeah? That we're in the company of important people, that we're in the company of the wealthy people. People look up to us and see us, and I'm in their company. I know them. And we show to people that, you know, I've got the contact details of these people. I know these people. Whereas these people, they're not the people that would even be giving them contact details. And on the flip side, they don't even want their contact details. On the flip side, they don't want to be known by these people, and they're not known by these people. And another place it is stated, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if many scattered hair people who are kicked out from homes vow to Allah, He fulfills it. Elaborating on the part of the hadith, many scattered hair people who are kicked out of the homes, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahmatullah has said that the blessed commandment does not mean that they go to the houses of worldly people and are kicked out of them. They do not go to the houses of anyone but Allah. It means that the world does not know about them. If they go to someone else, he does not like to meet them because Allah Azza wa Jalla can see them from worldly people. As ruby, red-colored diamond is hidden in mountains or pearl is in the ocean, so that people do not waste this time. This blessed part of the hadith, if they vow to Allah, He fulfills it. May have two meanings. One is that if the person vows to Allah and then asks for something, such as the Lord says, you have custom of your honor and glory, do it, then Allah Azza wa Jalla definitely does it. This is a firm determination of a bondsman from his Lord. Secondly, if the person swears an oath on the divine work of Allah and then informs people, Allah Azza wa Jalla fulfills his oath. For example, if he says, I swear to Allah, you will be blessed with a son, or I swear to my Lord, it will rain today, then Allah Azza wa Jalla makes an order for it to be done. Allahu Akbar. You know the topic of pious saints' blessings and the saintly miracles is vast. You need to read. And if you could to go to our website, www.dawahislami.net, there are many, many books there for you to read. And we need to make it part of our daily routine. I visited one of our Darul Madinas today, and I was given this small diary. And it was a reading book for children. And I saw in it that, you know, the date, the book that you read, and any comments. And I flipped through, and I counted up, and I found out that there was like 200 rows over the 30 pages. So I sent a message and asked that, 200 books? You know, when are they going to do that? And they said, no, the children are expected to read one book a day with their parents. Now, admittedly, it's only a short book, it's only a small book, it'll only be a few lines. So then I think to myself that, if you are brought up in this country, you are brought up in a culture where when you're at school, every single day, you're expected to read and to sit down and read and read and read. Why did we stop reading? You know, Amir Sunat, the founder of the Islam, he advises us to read at least 12 pages a day, you know? And we see that the children are reading every day. The students are reading every day. Why are we not reading? Why are we not continuously acquiring this knowledge of the deen and being aware of this? Coming back to the topic, time is very, very short. Sayyidina Jabir Rambi Ramatullah said that most of the people in the city of Rabbah would deny the certain miracles. One day I entered Rabbah riding on a beast and asked, where are the people who deny the certain miracles of the pious saints? Afterwards, they stopped speaking ill of me. Allahu Akbar. You know, these miracles of the saints are also mentioned in the Quran as well. Sayyidina Zakaria alayhi salam was blessed with the nubuwwah by Allah Azza wa Jalla, but he did not have any child and he had gone very weak. He had desired for a son for many years and many times he made dua to Allah beseeching for a son, but he had not been blessed with any son yet. But when he saw the saintly miracle of Sayyidina Maryam radiallahu anha, the out of season fruits would descend in the mihrab, at that time the thought crossed his mind that if Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed her with out of season fruits because of her sitting in that mihrab, he is also capable of blessing me with out-of-season fruit in the form of a child. Though I have become very old and the season to produce the fruit of children is gone. Therefore, he made dua in the same area where Sayyidina Maryam radiallahu anha had made that dua. And Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed him with a son in his old age. And he named his son Yahya. Furthermore, Allah Azza wa Jalla also blessed his son with nubuwwah as well. This event has been mentioned in the Holy Quran. We also see in the Quran the saintly miracles of Ashabi Kaf, the people that stayed in the cave for all of them 309 years, and Allah Azza wa Jalla preserved them. These are all the miracles that are mentioned in the Quran, my dear viewers of Madri Channel. But we need to acquire that knowledge, and we need to have that iman inside us. Have that faith inside us, because sometimes our intellect tries to get the better of us, and we think to ourselves, no, it's not possible. Now, you could argue about some of the miracles that I mentioned today, but are you going to deny the miracles that have been mentioned in the Quran? Are you going to deny the miracle of the Ashabi Kaf, where people stayed asleep for 309 years, and when they woke up, it's as if nothing affected them? They weren't hungry, they weren't deteriorated, nothing at all. Are you going to deny that? You can't deny that. So miracles happen. How do they happen? By the will of Allah. How can they happen? By the will of Allah. And these pious people of the past, they were close to Allah. And because they were close to Allah, then Allah Azza wa Jalla accepted their du'as. But what I'm trying to say today, viewers of the channel, is one, that we need to believe. Two, we need to become aware of these people. And we heard earlier on that those people who are close to Allah, those people who become friends of Allah, are not those people that abundantly worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, not those people that are abundantly fasting, not those people that are abundantly doing the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla and glorifying Allah Azza wa Jalla, but those people that have a good character, those people that have righteous intentions, those people that remove the hatred from the hearts of their fellow Muslims, those people that go out of the way to help people. Is it something that we cannot also do as well? Can we not change ourselves for the better? And viewers of the channel, this is ideally what Dawud's Time is all about changing ourselves, about improving ourselves, about striving to make that change in myself. You know, I must strive to reform myself and reform the people of the whole world. I don't say, oh, I must strive to become abundant in worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla. I must strive to be fasting every single day of the year. I must strive to do the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla. No, I must strive to reform myself, to improve myself. Yes, improve my ibadat. Yes, improve my fasting. Yes, improve my zikr. But not just that. Our character, the way we deal with people, our intentions, our tongue, the way we live our lives, everything, all of these things are things that we need to make a change in our lives. And if we read about the lives of our pious predecessors, we read how they lived their lives and learn something from them. You know, I keep on saying this, but when you listen to their stories, don't just think of them as a story. Think of them as a lesson. That event has been preserved, passed down from generation to generation to generation. Not so that when we listen to it or read it, we say, oh yeah, that's a good story. No, it's so that we can learn a lesson from that. So let's learn a lesson from the lives of our past predecessors. Let's learn a lesson from yesterday. Let's make a change today so that we can have a better tomorrow. Viewers of Mother Channel, you've been watching yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Until the next time, keep watching Madri Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah, Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Allah.